And this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Dan Novak and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, a new United Nations report says a warming planet and changes to land use suggest an increase in wildfires around the world in coming years. The report says these wildfires will cause an increase in smoke pollution and other problems that world governments are not prepared for. The report was released Wednesday from the United Nations Environment Program. It said wildfires worldwide could increase by one-third by 2050. The increase will reach more than 50% by the year 2100, the report said. The western United States, central India, and eastern Australia are already seeing more wildfires. Even areas once considered safe from major fires, such as the Arctic, will very likely experience a major increase in burning. Tropical forests in Indonesia and the southern Amazon of South America also are likely to see increased wildfires, the report found. Andrew Sullivan is one of the report's writers. He is with the Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization in Australia. He said, "Uncontrollable and devastating wildfires are becoming an expected part of the seasonal calendars in many parts of the world." The report describes a worsening series of events. Climate change will bring more dry periods and higher temperatures that make it easy for fires to start and spread. Those fires then release more climate-changing carbon into the atmosphere as they burn through forests. Some areas, including parts of Africa, are seeing a decrease in wildfires. That is partly because more land is being used for agriculture, said report co-writer Glennis Humphrey. She is with the University of Cape Town in South Africa. But UN researchers said many nations continue to spend too much time and money fighting fires and not enough trying to prevent them. Land use changes can make the fires worse. The report said the remains left behind by the logging industry can easily burn. And some forests are purposely burned to clear land for farming. Poor communities are often hit hardest by fires. Wildfires can worsen water quality, destroy crops, and reduce land available to grow food. Humphrey said, "The fires affect people's jobs and their economic situation." She added that it is very important that fire be in the same category of disaster management as floods and droughts.
Russia and Ukraine are both recalling their citizens as tensions between the countries intensify. Russia has withdrawn diplomatic workers from its embassy in Kyiv, while Ukraine has urged its citizens to leave Russia. The actions come as Russian President Vladimir Putin received approval from Russia's parliament Wednesday to use military force outside his country. Western nations have answered that move with sanctions on Russian leaders and banks. The U.S. and its European allies accused Russia on Tuesday of crossing a red line after entering into separatist areas in eastern Ukraine. On Tuesday, U.S. President Joe Biden, in a televised message, called the moves the beginning of a Russian invasion. Russia also withdrew diplomatic officials from Ukraine, state news agency TASS reported. By Wednesday, the Russian flag was no longer flying over the embassy in Kyiv. Police had surrounded the building. After weeks of demonstrating calm, Ukrainian officials showed signs of increased concern on Wednesday. The foreign ministry advised against travel to Russia. It also said Ukrainian citizens in Russia should leave immediately. The head of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council also called for a nationwide state of emergency. There have been a number of signs of rising tensions. They include the withdrawal of Ukraine's ambassador to Russia. Ukrainian officials are also considering breaking diplomatic ties with Russia. Several nations have blocked rich Russian business leaders, known as oligarchs, and banks from international financial markets. Germany halted the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline from Russia. The United States sent more troops to NATO alliance partners near Russia. And the top U.S. diplomat canceled a meeting with Russia's foreign minister. The threat of war has already severely damaged Ukraine's economy. There are also reports of death and destruction in eastern Ukraine, while energy shortages are being felt in Europe. Leaders warned the situation could become more dangerous. Russia has 150,000 troops positioned on three sides of Ukraine. U.S. President Joe Biden warned that more sanctions could be placed on Russia. Germany's foreign minister on Wednesday called the latest European Union sanctions a first step. She said additional measures could follow. However, the United States and its European allies have said they do not want to oppose Russia with military force. Russian ambassador in the U.S., Anatoly Antonov, said that sanctions cannot solve a thing in a statement on Facebook. It is hard to imagine that there is a person in Washington who expects Russia to revise its foreign policy under a threat of restrictions. An 8-year conflict between Russian-backed separatists and Ukrainian forces in the country's east has killed nearly 14,000 people. Violence there is increasing. One Ukrainian soldier was killed and 6 more were injured after firing by the separatists, the Ukrainian military said. Separatist officials reported several explosions in territory they control and 3 civilian deaths. I'm Dan Novak.
The American agency responsible for issuing copyright protections has rejected a request to register an image created by a machine. The request to the U.S. Copyright Office was made by Stephen Thaler, a scientist and developer of neural networks. A neural network is a computer system built to simulate or act like the human brain. Thaler built an artificial intelligence-powered system called the Creativity Machine. The system produced a colorful, painting-like image with the help of an algorithm processed by a computer. Thaler named the image a recent entrance to paradise. He said it was meant to represent the AI system's visual creation of a simulated near-death experience. Thaler first sought a copyright registration for the digital image in 2018. That request was denied in 2019. So he asked the agency to reconsider that decision. In a new ruling last week, the Copyright Office upheld its first rejection. The agency explained the reasoning for its decision in a letter to Thaler's legal team. In the document, the Copyright Office states that Thaler described the image as being autonomously created by a computer algorithm running on a machine. In other words, he believes his AI system created the digital artwork completely on its own, without help from humans. The agency said the request sought to register the computer-produced image as a work for hire to the owner of the Creativity Machine. Thaler listed himself as the owner of the machine. In its latest ruling, the Copyright Office explained that it was once again rejecting the registration request. It said it had taken the action because the image lacked the required human authorship required to receive copyright protection. In seeking a reconsideration of his request, Thaler argued that the agency's human authorship requirement is unconstitutional and not supported by case law. The Copyright Office rejected that argument. It said it had accepted Thaler's description that the image he sought to register was created without any human involvement. Current rules state that the Copyright Office must refuse a registration if it determines that a human being did not create the work, the agency said. The Copyright Office added that Thaler's request was not effectively supported by current U.S. law or decisions in past copyright-related cases. It noted that the request appeared to be more of a policy argument in favor of legal protection for works produced solely by artificial intelligence. The continued development of AI systems built to assist humans is likely to lead to new debates over whether current laws relating to copyrights and patents should be changed. In 2020, Thaler sought patents for two products he claimed were completely created by an AI system he calls Debus. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office also rejected those requests, The Verge website reported. That agency said it denied the requests because under current patent laws, a machine does not qualify as an inventor. Thaler also sought approval for the products with patent agencies in Britain and Europe, but those requests were also denied. However, a judge in Australia ruled last year that inventions created by AI systems can qualify for patent protection, Engadget reports. A legal representative for Thaler, Ryan Abbott, said in an online discussion about the issue that he has not argued that AI should own actual patents. Rather, a patent should be held by the owner of the system or machine that did the inventing. However, Abbott said he and Thaler do believe that governments should recognize the machine as the inventor or creator. He said this could prevent people from claiming credit for work they haven't done. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson with Mario Ritter. We talk about the first 100 days of the administration of President Franklin Roosevelt. Roosevelt's inauguration speech in March of 1933 gave hope to millions of Americans. The new president promised to fight the Great Depression that was crushing the economy. His administration launched into action even before the inauguration ceremonies were finished. Back then, newly elected presidents were sworn into office in March instead of January. Roosevelt's aides began work even as he and his wife, Eleanor, watched the traditional inaugural parade. The lights of Washington's federal office buildings burned late that night. And not just on that night, but the next night, and the next night, too. The nation was in crisis. There was much work to do.
The first 3 months of Franklin Roosevelt's administration were an exciting time. Roosevelt got Congress to pass more pieces of important legislation during this short period than most presidents pass during their entire term. These 3 months are remembered today as the 100 days. Sunday, March 5th, was the day after the inauguration. Roosevelt asked Congress to begin a special meeting later that week, and he ordered all the nation's banks to close until the economy improved. Roosevelt also banned the export of gold. Congress met on Thursday, as Roosevelt had asked. It passed everything that the new president wanted. Both the House and Senate approved Roosevelt's strong new banking laws in less than 8 hours. Roosevelt signed the bills into law the same day.
The next day, Friday, Roosevelt called on Congress to cut federal spending. Once again, Congress met and approved Roosevelt's request immediately. 2 nights later, Roosevelt spoke to the nation in a radio speech. His warm, powerful voice traveled to millions of homes. He gave many listeners the hope that they could once again trust their banks and political leaders. On Monday, Roosevelt called on Congress to make it legal to sell beer and wine and to tax those sales. At that time, there was a national ban on alcohol. But once again, Congress agreed. Roosevelt's success in passing these laws excited the nation. People across the country watched in wonder as the new president fought and won battle after battle.
Washington was filled with activity. The air was full of energy, like a country sky during an electrical storm. People from around the country rushed to the Capitol to urge the administration to support their ideas. Bankers came by the thousands to win favorable legislation. Experts of all kinds offered new ideas on how to rescue the economy. Ambassadors came from Britain, France, Brazil, Chile, China, and many other countries. They came to speak with Roosevelt on economic and diplomatic issues. And members of Roosevelt's Democratic Party arrived by the thousands. They came to seek jobs in the new administration. Americans watched closely what was happening in Washington, and they liked what they saw. They had voted for action. Now, Roosevelt was giving them action.
One of the most important areas of action for the new administration was agriculture. American farmers had been hurt more than any other group by the economic depression. The average income of American farmers had dropped in 3 years from $162 a year to just $48. Farm prices had fallen 55%. The buying power of the average farmer had dropped by more than half. Many farmers could not even earn enough money to pay for their tools and seed. The main cause of the problems for farmers was that they were producing too much. There was too much grain, too much meat, too much cotton. As a result, prices stayed low. The situation was good for people in cities who bought farm products, but it was a disaster for the farmers who produced those products.
Franklin Roosevelt attacked the problem by limiting production. His administration put a new tax on grain products. The tax increased their price and reduced demand. The administration paid cotton farmers to destroy some of their crops. And it bought and killed 5 million pigs to reduce the amount of meat on the market. It was a strange situation. Some Americans had trouble understanding the economic reason why food had to be destroyed so people could have enough to eat. But more officials agreed that this was the only way to limit supply, raise prices, and save farmers. The plan worked. Production quickly fell. Hot weather and bad harvests in 1933 and 1934 reduced the amount of grain even more. As a result, prices rose. Farm income increased 50% in 4 years.
The administration also attacked the problem of falling industrial production. At the time of Roosevelt's inauguration, the production of American goods had fallen by more than half in just 4 years. Business owners reacted by cutting their costs. They lowered wages and reduced their number of workers. But these actions only reduced the number of people with enough money to buy goods. And so production went down further and further. Roosevelt created a National Recovery Administration that sought to gain the cooperation of businesses. Many business owners agreed to follow codes or rules, such as limiting the number of hours people could work. They also agreed to raise wages and stop hiring child labor. And they agreed to improve working conditions and to cooperate with labor unions. At the same time, Roosevelt created a Public Works Administration to provide jobs to unemployed workers. The federal government put people to work on building dams, bridges, water systems, and other major projects.
On monetary policy, Roosevelt and the Congress decided that the dollar should no longer be tied to the price of gold. Other action in Washington included a bill for homeowners that helped many Americans borrow money to save their homes. And a bank insurance bill guaranteed that Americans would not lose their savings. This insurance greatly increased public faith in the banks. Roosevelt and Congress created a Civilian Conservation Corps to put young men to work in rural areas to protect the nation's natural resources. These young men did things like plant trees and improve parks. They also worked with farmers to develop farming methods that help protect the soil against wind and rain.
One of Roosevelt's most creative projects was a plan to improve the area around the southern state of Tennessee. The Tennessee River Valley was a very poor area. Few farms had electricity. Forests were thin. Floods were common. Roosevelt and Congress decided to attack all of these problems with a single project. The new Tennessee Valley Authority built dams, cleared rivers, expanded forests, and provided electricity. It succeeded in helping farmers throughout the area, creating new life and hope.
The 100 days, the first 3 months of the Roosevelt administration, was a great success. One reporter for the New York Times observed that the change from President Herbert Hoover to Franklin Roosevelt was like a man moving from a slow horse to an airplane. Suddenly, the nation was moving again. There was action everywhere. Journalist Frederick Allen described the situation this way. The difference between Roosevelt's program and the Hoover program was sharp. Roosevelt's program was not a program of defense, but of attack. There was a new willingness to expand the limits of government. In most of the laws, there was a new push for the good of the common man. There was a new effort to build wealth from the bottom up, rather than from the top down.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.